Today's program is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Episode 170 of The Morning After. I am your host, Sari Gaiman.
And I'm Leslie Stockton. So, Sari, I am really, really eager to hear the food news.
We do have some food news. And I also want to say that our guest today is Anna Dunn. She is the editor-in-chief of Diner Journal. So we'll be back with her in a little bit to talk all about that ever-beautiful magazine. But yes, first, food news. Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay, we were talking a little bit before about, you know, what it's like if you're in a restaurant and your server is not fully clothed. Well, speaking of
such
that,
such a common problem.
Okay, so actually, there is a restaurant that's going to be opening up in London this summer. It's a pop-up restaurant all summer, and the theme is naked.
Who's naked?
Everybody. Okay, so remember when there was smoking in restaurants?
I'm sorry, it's a pop-up?
Oh, and she's funny.
Maybe they should rework that.
So remember when there was smoking and, you'd go to a restaurant and they'd be like, oh, do you want to sit in the smoking section or non-smoking?
I remember when airplanes were smoking and non-smoking.
Yes. So much like that, they're going to be like, hey, do you want to sit in the clothing optional section or the no clothing section?
Oh, I have so many questions.
So the restaurant's going to be called Bunyadi, which I don't know.
What does that mean?
It means naked.
It means no pants.
In Swahili.
It means no pants dance.
Yeah. So they can choose between which kind. And, I guess the theme is, everything's supposed to be supernatural and, organic and, good for you. And, so we don't want to have to deal with, the hassle of wearing clothes in this, completely natural experience.
Wait, is it vegetarian?
That I don't know.
I'm going to ask you so many questions you don't have answers to.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the au naturel section, are the waiters clothed?
They are wearing a little bit of clothing.
Hairnet? Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Just a little bit.
Can I say merkin?
I think you can say that on air. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So, yeah, all right. So maybe they're wearing
the Americans. The kitchen will be clothed, and then the waiters will just be wearing a little bit of clothing.
Fig leaf.
Possibly.
Something.
Yeah, grape leaf, maybe. So my question, Anna, what would you choose? Would you choose clothing or not clothing?
I mean, you can't go there and not go
for that. Why would you go there?
No clothes.
Yeah.
I agree. So here's the kicker. And the shocker, the waiting list The waiting list is already 27,000 people.
27,000 people want to eat naked in front of other people.
In front of other people.
Oh, wait, the customers are naked?
Customers are naked.
Everybody's naked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the waiters were naked, I'd be like, whatever.
Waiters are mostly naked, but the customers have the option to be.
I'm sitting there, sitting down in a booth is not
eating
your
quinoa.
Posture.
I know.
Eating your quinoa, looking like a little kidney bean just sitting there.
So I thought this was a helpful tip. The waiting list is 27,000, and just to give it a little bit of context, the wait list for Noma Australia was 27,000.
Wow.
So as many people want to eat naked in London as they did want to eat at what is apparently the best restaurant in the world.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to something a little less savory, I'm sorry to say. Have you guys ever heard of Checkers? It's like a fast food.
It's a burger joint?
There's a guy out front with red, pants.
Exactly.
With pants.
With pants.
So apparently in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is a place I just learned. I had just read Cleveland, but no, this is Cleveland, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. A worker from the McDonald's next door, which happens to be their direct competition, went to Checkers to use the bathroom. I don't know why. Let's not get into that and skip it. But found that there was a bread tray. What do you call those, Anna? With the stacks and hamburger
a speed rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those. Just full of buns, chilling in the bathroom.
No.
Yeah.
No.
A bathroom snack. It's like the naked eating again.
Stop it. Yeah. No. So that didn't go over so well with the McDonald's employee, and he took a picture of it, and then Checkers came back and it's like, oh, it was the bread delivery happened, and we don't know. We didn't know it was in the bathroom.
Listen,
but I think some people are not feeling too good about it.
I worked in restaurants for over 10 years. I was a line cook. I was a host. I mean, I've seen some stuff. I've heard some stuff. I've never, ever once heard anything that disgusting.
Wow. It's a big day.
It's
our 170th episode.
I mean, I can't.
Just took the wind out of your sails. Okay, so if you're in Cleveland, Tennessee,
don't go to the Checkers.
Eat at McDonald's, not Checkers. If you want to feel secure about
it. I don't know
about
the McDonald's, because if their bathroom is so bad, their employees have to use the one at
that's
Checkers.
A real conundrum.
That's
right.
A good point.
I'd hit the Burger King.
I think he was just spying, just trying to do some spying on the competition.
Yeah, I know, but you know, if you make $9 an hour, what do you care?
Yeah. That's a good point. Okay, last but not least, this is a huge story. I'm sure you guys have heard of Lemonade that came out with Beyonce.
Yeah. Missed it.
Never heard of it.
No, I missed it though.
I can't
find it anywhere.
iTunes, I think.
Okay.
But that's not the story. The story is that, so apparently there was some veiled references to a possible mistress of Jay-Z's.
Ooh.
And
Becky
with the good hair. And then a lot of people thought that Becky with the good hair was this like fashion person named Rachel Roy.
Yep.
Right. Because apparently she tweeted something like, good hair, don't care. And everyone was like, ooh. But then some people thought Rachel Roy was Rachel Ray. From the Food Network. And then
Jay-Z
like,
and Rachel Ray.
Ouch.
So like all, you know, the Bayhive was like, oh, hell no, Rachel Ray cooking.
I do have to say Rachel Ray has excellent hair.
She does have good
hair. She has really good hair.
But it was
not Rachel Ray.
So just to clear it up once and for all, Bayhive, like, we love you. Obviously, we're Team Bay all day.
I'm not going to get...
Back off Rachel Ray, okay? Because she's just like, she's just cooking some simple meals for under $10. Back off.
I'm not going to get over the image of Jay-Z and Rachel Ray getting
down.
I know.
I wish it was true. I mean, I don't wish it was true because of, obviously,
Queen Bay.
Yeah. But that's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
And Rachel Ray, we got your back.
And Rachel, we think you have great hair.
We do. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Anna Dunn, Diner Journal.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
And we're back with Anna Dunn. She is the editor-in-chief of Diner Journal ever since its inception in 2006. And she is also a bartender at Romans. And she is the co-author of The Salty Cookbook. And she is hard at work on her first crime fiction novel. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Welcome here.
Yeah.
We are so excited. We know that there's a new issue of Diner Journal. Is it out?
It is out. It just launched this week. It is our 32nd issue. And it is the 10th year of Diner Journal. So it's a lot going on.
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Food Book Fair also is happening.
Yeah. So the Food Book Fair is happening this weekend at the Weiss Hotel. It's the 5th annual Food Book Fair. And there's a great magazine fair happening right now, independent food magazines, and great panels today and tomorrow.
So you're going to be there?
I was there this morning, and I'm going back. Yeah,
cool.
It's really fun.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Diner Journal and how it all happened. Can you kind of like give us the rundown of how it came to be?
So Diner Journal was started by Andrew Tarlow and Caroline Fidanza and Mark Firth 10 years ago at Diner and Marlin Sons, they were kind of thinking about how to kind of document their process of making the restaurants and kind of get involved in cookbook making, but they didn't really have a lot of time to spare. So they kind of made this kind of smaller zine, recipe driven black and white, or there was like one color and it was black and white, and magazine, and they started to make it. And I luckily was working as a barista in the mornings, and they knew that I was a writer. I was like working at a bookstore and trying to do some poetry writing and reading and stuff. So I got to start editing it. And then throughout the years, it's really changed its focus in a lot of ways. For a while, we would go visit farmers and purveyors and write about them and kind of like explore like different ideas about how to run the business through the magazine. And then eventually it was more about art and literature. And now we are having a cookbook come out. So we're kind of making magazines that are more like books, like one voice, one artist coming together to make one magazine. Yeah. So
I absolutely love this issue.
Oh,
I was the photographs, first of all, are absolutely gorgeous. And the writing is almost poetic. I'm sorry, that makes me sound so douchey, but
I appreciate that.
It's so beautiful. I mean, I cackled on the subway when I read "Eggs can be cruel mistresses." People looked at me like I was crazy.
That is poetic. Yeah. There's no better way to say it.
No, I just love Millicent's voice.
Yeah, Millicent Suarez is just an amazing writer who has worked as a like editor and contributor for the magazine for a long time. And Julia Gillard, the photo editor, took all the photographs. So it was really fun for me to really feature them. And they just put together something really amazing.
Yeah. Can you just talk a little bit about like who Millicent is and like the theme
sure.
of this particular issue?
Yeah. Millicent is interesting because she is a cook, but she's also a writer and a teacher and kind of like a activist, and she works freelance, all sorts of different jobs for different people. And so she's been writing all the time. So she wrote a book called How to Build a Better Pie a couple of years ago. That was really great recipe book. And so, I don't know, I just always, we've been kind of working together on her writing for a long time, and she went to this island to cook for a family for the summer and invited Julia, the photo editor, to come visit her and that they would work on a story together. So they came back with this amazing, like, long-form magazine story that I just got to, you know, be delighted at.
And then how do you pick the themes? Like, how did you decide on that?
Well, that was really a fluke and really lucky, because at the beginning of this year, we kind of like try to think about it at the beginning of the year, like what three magazines do we want to make? How are they different? What are the focuses like? And so often we've featured illustrators, and we've done ones based around a book. Like we did one based around Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales for Christmas a couple years ago, which was really just about making food. That turned into like this cool conversation between chefs about how to make different like traditional Welsh kind of dishes and stuff like that. So, and Millicent was involved in that. So this one, you know, they had made it and they said, you know, I think we have the next Diner Journal. And I was, I felt really lucky because I was at a loss, which happens a lot. I was like, I'll meditate on what to do now, but nothing's going to come.
Yeah. But at this point, do people generally pitch to you, or are you kind of like always actively seeking the next?
So that process has changed a little bit, because for years we built magazines and themes around pitches. You know, working in the restaurants at Diner and Marlowe, there were so many great writers and artists working in the restaurant, you know, back of the house, front of the house, actually both. So like people were always talking to me about what they wanted to explore, and we would kind of like latch on to one, and maybe a couple of them would kind of speak to each other, and then we would move forward. And since we've started working on this cookbook with 10 Speed Press, we've kind of shifted to kind of become the storytellers ourselves. So I have like a handful of people who work on the magazine every single time. Caroline Fidanza, Millicent Suarez for sure, Becky Johnson is the designer, and Julia Gillard is the photo editor. And then there's also people behind the scenes doing distribution and other great stuff. But so now we really come together as a smaller group and kind of create the whole magazine together. But, you know, like, so we're not, I'm not pulling pitches from people. I'm kind of like, kind of trying to coalesce one story. So it looks like a book. It looks more like a book than, say, the past ones have.
the one thing that I really appreciate about this is that it does flow like a book. And the whole thing, if you haven't seen this, audience, you must run out and get it. It's so cohesive and it's so natural, and nothing about it seems forced like a lot of magazines you look at, you know.
Oh, great.
It seems like it just kind of happened.
Yeah. I feel like that a little bit. It'll never happen again like that, but yeah, I appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean, the magazine is a story, and it's one voice. And is that the plan from here on out, to kind of keep it like one voice per issue?
Well, it's interesting. I've been kind of thinking about it as having like featuring like one, like a narrator or like a chorus in like old plays or something, you know, like somebody, like sometimes play. I get to be that person. Sometimes I might tap somebody on the shoulder. I've been talking to Annie Novak a lot about maybe doing one. But regardless, we'll have a really focused kind of like drive in it. And I like to have the people who do write kind of write to each other, you know, in this way to kind of like create a conversation in the magazine. So I actually don't know what's going to happen next.
But. Yeah. Well, one thing about Diner Journal that's really struck me is like how unaffected you guys are by like general restaurant trends and like just the media in general. It seems like most food magazines are like really scrambling to be like on top of like, oh, what's the next big thing? What's the next big thing? And you guys have just kind of been doing your thing and are, you know, obviously not oblivious, but not concerned with that in any way whatsoever.
Unaffected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for better or for worse, perhaps. yeah, you know, it's so much work to make this. And, you know, Andrew, the publisher and owner of Diner and Marlin Sons, have been working together on it for so long that it's really about our creative process. And so that has to be, like, the most satisfying part of it. And, you know, I was just talking about how much I love Instagram. It's embarrassing a little bit, but I love to post pictures from it on Instagram, but which feels a little bit on trend or something, you know, like that. But when making the thing, I'm really kind of like thinking about like what references I can pull into this moment of the magazine or something. And yeah, I don't, you know, it's just because we've been making it kind of like scrambling to make it. I don't have my finger on the pulse of the food media.
Yeah, but I think that's what's working for you guys.
Thanks.
I mean, a lot of food magazines have closed, have come and gone.
We had this conversation with Sarah a couple of weeks ago.
Sarah Moulton
a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the good ones have folded. And I'm not saying anything bad about food magazines that are out there right now, but it's just not what it used to be. There's just not this sense of escape anymore. And a lot of the magazines that are out right now, food based, are very bro-y. It's a very common voice right now, which is fine. It seems to be popular. It's just not the voice I respond to. But there's a sensitivity to Diner Journal that I really appreciate.
Thank you. That's really nice to hear. I like the word, I'm not sure which word you said, but I like the idea that you can kind of wander into the magazine and disappear into its story. Yeah. That's what I want. So it's like,
yeah. Can you speak to how you think you've been able to sustain, I mean, for 10 years at this point when so many print publications have not?
Sure. Well, you know, we are really lucky in that the restaurants have really been the engine that drives, that kind of keeps the magazine stable. So we distribute, we sell. It's very hard to keep that going because we don't have anybody working on it full time. But so really, like, people coming into the restaurants and eating there and supporting them has really supported the magazine over time.
Yeah. So clearly the restaurants are integral to the magazine, but would you say the magazine at this point is integral to not the restaurant specifically, but like the whole enterprise of the Andrew Tarlow community?
Yeah, they work together in a certain way. Like, people who can't make it into the restaurant at, you know, every given night can, or if they live somewhere else, they can subscribe to the magazine, or they can, you know, kind of investigate us through our online presence and like kind of get a feeling for us. And certainly the magazine has really led us into this great partnership with 10 Speed Press making this cookbook. So
So when you're brainstorming a magazine, an issue of Diner Journal, what is your, like, what are your favorite sources of inspiration? Maybe even not for the magazine, just your day-to-day job bartending at Roman's, you know, like, what really gets your motor running?
Well, I, that's a good question. Usually Bruce Springsteen, but... But, you know, it's hard for me to answer that with the magazine because it's so there's so many of them. But I could talk about it with the book a little bit, which is called Dinner at the Long Table. And the idea about this book was that it's really kind of Andrew's story of, like, making the restaurants and having these this relationship to food and kind of romanticism in a certain way and finding inspiration in books. We talk a lot about Lulu's Provincial Kitchen, or we reference it a lot in the book or other books that we love. But also, like, so, like, for the book, we went and we thought, you know, like, we talked to the chefs of each of the restaurants about what kind of dinners they would like to do. We thought about the things that we do every year, dinners for Bea's birthday, or kind of, like, just, you know, returning to making the same thing over and over again, and what makes that different, what makes it more authentic, what gives it, like, value, and then kind of built stories around that. So, like, when I think about making the magazine, it's similar to that. It's less personal because I try to invite people into the magazine, and so the book is really, like, me and Andrew telling a story. So it's, you know, the magazine, I never know where it comes from, but I'm usually really delighted with it.
It's always beautiful.
Thank you.
So at the beginning, like, what did you guys decide on, like, a specific mission? I mean, I know you guys are like, no ads, three hole punch.
Yeah.
And so how did it start and how has it evolved?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, because Carol and I used to write a mission statement every time. Mm-hmm. And now when I go back and read them, I cringe a little, even though I think that they were a good idea. And so much about writing is solidifying your thoughts and knowing what you're doing, or not knowing what you're doing, but finding out. So, you know, I think that we always have been committed to kind of, like, investigating either, like, is that inspiration or art, or is it practices, or is it farming, or is it sustainable food ideas? So it's always evolving. It's just changing a lot.
How is it connected to Andrew Tarlow and his restaurants at this point, and how has it kind of moved away from that?
I mean, it's still deeply connected. We work on it there. We kind of, it's generated at upstairs from Marlon Sons. It's a little bit less, like, in the beginning there were recipes from the restaurants, and that's less so the case, although almost everybody who's writing recipes has worked in them to some capacity. And I have a great recipe editor, Scarlett Lindemann, who also worked a lot on this cookbook, who does a great job at, like, talking to the chefs and making sure that the stories come together in a certain way and that the recipes, again, like, speak to each other. How is it different, or how has it kind of moved? Well, for a long time, I took a lot of different writers and artists and put them together in the magazine, and that kind of shifted us out of being so directly connected to what was happening in the restaurant. And I don't, you know, now it can always turn back into what it used to be, I've found also. So I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no rule.
No rules.
The single voice narrative, you know, it's very unique.
I read an article or an interview with you, and the question was, like, you know, photography is obviously an art form and writing is an art form. And then there was the question of, like, well, is food an art form? And you answered it, I think, in, like, you know, a really lovely way in talking about, like, the intersection. And I guess I'm trying to prompt you like, go back, like, how is food an art form? And, like, how have you been able to classify it uniquely in that way, like, through the lens of Diner Journal?
Well, food is certainly an art form. I mean, any chef will tell you that, and they are really having fun with it when it is artistry, you know. And that's I feel, like, so glad that I get to be around so many people who think about it that way. You can also think of food as, like, something, which my mother once said to me, is just something you need to do. Mm-hmm. You need to eat, you know. And that's true. That's also true. I think that the thing that's great about food is that if you spend time together making food together, that is kind of like the art of being alive. It's like enjoying the process of doing this thing that will, like, sustain you and nurture you, and it can be fun and not super stressful. And I think that that applies to a lot of art making. Like, I think that a lot of the reason why people feel hesitant to write or hesitant to paint or hesitant to, I don't know, make a drawing or something is that they are worried. They're like stressed out that it might not be good. But if you just learn to enjoy the process of doing it, it doesn't matter what happens at the end.
Yeah.
All the food's going to get eaten.
Always does. Your first grilled cheese sandwich will be burnt.
Yeah, and it'll still be good.
It'll fine. Still be delicious.
Yeah.
Do you have an issue that you're most proud of?
Oh, man.
Or just a favorite?
That's a tough one. Yeah. You know, I am partial to this one we did based on Dylan Thomas because when I was a kid, my dad reads it every year on Christmas, and it's such a funny and dark and beautiful kind of story. And so he and I wrote these letters back and forth to each other about the story. And then I made my little brother dress up as one of the characters, and Julia took photographs, and Caroline and Millicent and Scarlett wrote this kind of like play talking about the food and how to, like, you know, make all this kind of strange, interesting holiday-ish food, you know? Yeah. So I'm a poet at heart, so that one stays with me. Yeah. But I really love this new one, too. I think it's, just really fun to be around.
It sure is pretty.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. who shot this?
Julia Gillard is a photographer, and she is our photo editor. So she works on every photograph in the magazine, even when it's not her own. But she really took the reins of this one and took every photograph. And she's on her own right, is a great like street photographer and art photographer. So she has she does these great projects where she goes on holidays to different towns where it's like a big deal for them. Like the Holyoke, where my family is from, has this St. Patrick's Day parade that's bananas. So, like, you know, she was like, I'm going to Holyoke. And I was like, why would you ever go to Holyoke, Massachusetts? It's such a weird place. She was like, the St. Patrick's Day parade. And I was like, oh, yeah. So she shoots so much great kind of street stuff, and now has been working with food and shooting some really awesome stuff also. So you can feel that in this journal, too. There's a sense of place, not just a sense of food that I like.
Yeah. When she captured that feeling of camp.
Mm-hmm.
That I personally did not experience. Millicent wrote that she did not experience it.
Me neither. Right.
Did you go to camp, Sarah?
10 years.
You went to camp for 10 years?
So fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a counselor for like the last three or four. But
I mean,
like from age 8 to 18, I did camp every summer.
See, and so did the photographer experience camp, or was this something brand new to her as well? Or do you even know that?
Because I actually don't know. I don't know if Julia's been to camp, but I'll find out.
I always, when I look at stuff like this, I'm like, this is the childhood I missed.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been doing this for 10 years now, mm-hmm. which is like such an achievement, but I feel like the food community, I mean, especially in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. is so much more dynamic than it used to be. Has that affected you as the editor-in-chief? I mean, how have you kind of like rolled along and been able to document that or not? Does it not matter?
Well, that's a good question. I, you know, working at Diner and Marlowe and Sons 10 years ago, I made really amazing friends. So many of those people have gone on to open other places like Pies and Thighs, Salty, for example. And so I got to kind of like see that their vision or point of view come to life around me also. And so like, and I feel like I see books everywhere, cookbooks everywhere that could be. So seeing kind of like wandering around Williamsburg or Brooklyn and seeing all of those strong point of views come to life as like little places where you can go get something to eat or to spend some time is really nice.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to take a break. We will be back with the morning after quiz.
one and only Dave Arnold brings the noise to Heritage Radio Network every Tuesday on Cooking Issues.
Coming to you live on the Heritage Radio Network from Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, and Brooklyn!
If the bomb was going to drop, and you only had 15 minutes, which is like, I can make a sandwich in 15 minutes. He would be eating a sandwich.
I'd kiss my wife, make a sandwich.
If you believe that it's all about to be over, why eat healthy? I'm not a freaking Neanderthal. I like a tempered ice cream sandwich. But it's the only way to get around it if you're a party master, because you're going to wind up, like, your kitchen's going to fill with dishes. And
Some people have commercial dishwashers in their house.
Who?
I've seen them.
Who?
I've seen them.
Who?
Really rich people.
For more mile-a-minute knowledge from Dave and the crew, listen to Cooking Issues, available on Heritage Radio Network, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Welcome back. It's time for the morning after quiz.
Yay!
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
No, okay. Never.
So, Anna Dunn, editor-in-chief of Diner Journal. You know all about that, but what do you know about diner lingo of the 30s, 40s, and 50s?
Not as much as I want to know.
So, I'm just going to say that diner lingo was something served up by sassy waitresses. They would call milk moo juice and all that stuff. So,
my lineage.
It is your lineage. So I'm going to give you the name. I'm going to give you, like, you know, short ribs are called what? And it's a multiple choice quiz. And you just tell me what you think it is, what sassy pseudonym it is. So let's start. Adding onions to something. Is it A, make it cry? Oh. B, pin a rose on it? Or C, bring it to tears?
Ooh, C.
It's actually B, pin a rose on it. And you know what? That doesn't make any sense.
The center could look like a rose, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. Okay.
That's way better.
All right. Don't worry about it.
I go for drama every time. So.
Bring it to tears. All right. A side of hash is called A, a mystery in the alley. B, yesterday's meat. Or C, sweep the kitchen.
Ooh. I don't know. I want to say A because it's so crime fiction. I'm going to go with A.
It is A.
Yes.
Woo! So when something's in the alley, that means there's a, like, alley means it's a side.
Ooh.
So
along the alley. I guess. Yeah. I like
logical.
That.
In
I
the
like
alley
that.
Is the side of it. That makes sense, right? Okay. Buttered toast and jam is called A, udders in the orchard on a raft.
That is a mouthful.
B, sticky cow paste on a plank. C, shingle with a shimmy and a shake.
Ooh.
Why are they all so much longer to say than butter and toast?
No sense.
I want to go with C.
You're right. It is a shingle with a shimmy and a shake.
Nice.
That's so good. You got 2 out of 3.
But they did call butter cow paste.
Yeah.
That's
disgusting.
All right. So you get the bonus one because there's time.
Okay, yay. Cool.
A dishwasher, not the person, not the machine, is called A, bubble dancer, B, frogman, or C, suds dud.
Ooh, you know, I'm probably going to be wrong, but I have to go for bubble dancer.
It's true.
Oh, yes.
I spent a lot of time in restaurants.
I thought bubble dancer really well. Was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
That is so funny.
That's good. You it brings really me back to the naked restaurant somehow, you know?
I know.
I'm not sure it's... I went back.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Bubble Dancer? All
I
right.
love it. That was great.
I thought, yeah.
Good
I thought
quiz, that Leslie.
Was, well, you know what? It was... this one was hilarious to make.
I bet. I yeah. learned a lot.
I know love too those. Much about diner lingo now.
Yeah. I'm glad I know this much now. Well, Anna... can you tell us when the book is coming out?
The book is coming out at the end of September, beginning of October.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And tell us where we can find Diner Journals.
Diner Journals you can find online at dinerjournal.com. You can also pick them up at Diner, Marlin & Sons, Romans, Achilles, or the Wythe Hotel. You can find them in most independent bookstores and specialty shops. And that's it for now.
And you can subscribe.
And you can subscribe online.
Great. Mm-hmm. Cool. And you'll be at Foodiaudicles today. Is it only today or is it also tomorrow?
Foodiaudicles is only today. Tomorrow there are other workshops and panel discussions happening.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank
you.
It
was really lovely to talk to you.
This was a great conversation.
So fun. Thank you.
If you're listening live, Leslie and I are heading over to the Food Book Fair, as is Anna. We're going to be at the Heritage Radio table.
Check us out.
Come say hi.
Yep.
Okay. See you next week.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.